Hello, welcome to Primrose Lane Podcast 5 about the actual paranormal events that inspired the making of Primrose Lane, a psychological thriller that I wrote and directed. I'm Kathleen Davison, and I'm joined with an amazing guest, Pamela Beatty, who is joining us as a paranormal expert, but in real life, she's a whole lot more. Pamela, why don't you introduce yourself?
Good morning. Yes, I am an empathic healer. And I help people get to all of the pains and the wounds of their inner child, and so they can be happy. That is, my goal is to make everybody happy. And I'm also a spirit medium, so I do talk to the dead as well. And so that's what kind of makes me a paranormal expert. I've been seeing spirits since I was a kid, so I kind of know what goes on the other plane of existence.
All right. Well, if you haven't tuned in previously, I'm going to tell you to stop right there. Go back to the Primrose Lane Facebook page, and if you scroll down into the comments, you are going to find links for every podcast, 1 through 4, and now you're on number 5. It's a linear story, folks. We don't want to give you any spoilers. So go back to the beginning and catch up with us, because I'm just going to move forward without giving you the quick catch up this time. Okay, in our last segment, we talked about the ghost rat attack on my husband in the home. And about 6 months after that happened, I injured my back in a non-paranormal experience. But I went to the same chiropractor that he had gone to, though we thought she was a little crazy, because when he had seen her, she channeled information and told him that he had been the victim of a psychic attack. And we thought she was a little bit of a nutter, but she was a really good healer. And she fixed his back a lot faster than all the people he had gone to prior to that. So when I injured mine, I went to her. And again, in the middle of a session, she starts channeling information. And she says to me, you know, there's a portal. It's not in your house. It's actually right above your house. And I can see that you're writing about it. And indeed, I had been writing about the experience that our family had had, just in journal form. And this was right at the time when I was writing the beginning of the screenplay for Primrose Lane, which actually started out as an equipment test. It wasn't meant to be a full movie at this point, but I was starting to put this together. And she said, the portal exists because of a geographic phenomena below the earth, that, or you know, in the core, under the ground, somewhere deep down there. She said there's a lot of crystal in this region of Southern California, in that particular area, and that energy was responsible for the portal being there, and that the portal had sort of always been there, and that the home had the misfortune of being built right below it. And basically explained that the portal was like a gateway to other dimensions, and that these entities were coming through, and our home turned out to be kind of the welcoming gate, so that we had this energy superhighway coming through the home. Now, I am fascinated by her story, but still thinking she's a nutter. But again, she's tapping into things. You know, my son told me that there were holes in the house and that things could come through. And now I have this person that I want to believe is nuts telling me that there's a hole in my house and it's an energy superhighway with all of these other entities from other various dimensions passing through. And I started to, I don't know that I took her entirely seriously, but I really was interested in hearing, understanding where this was coming from. Now, just as a test, after I had this experience, I still remember driving home and calling. I don't believe in chatting on the phone when you're driving, but I remember immediately calling an old neighbor and saying, "Hey, how's your back feeling?" Because I knew she had back problems. I said, "I have this chiropractor. She is amazing at fixing backs. And I just want you to go check her out. And now, because I want to see what your experience is." And she goes, and she calls me afterwards, like, "Yeah, she's great. She's great." I said, "Okay, what'd she tell you while you were there?" "Well, what do you mean? She, you know, she, she checked me out. She adjusted my back. I said, no. What else did she tell you, right? I mean, she had a story for you, right? But no, she was just a normal chiropractor. And we've sent several people there. And we have yet to have another person go and walk away with this, you know, channeling experience. And I'm sure she does do it for other people. As I got to know her better, because I did go back, and then I started asking her questions and trying to understand where all of this was coming from. And I did learn that she will only do that and share it with people that she feels will be receptive. Otherwise, she's not going to waste her time. Now, over a course of years then, knowing her and going back, not to have a psychic reading, but when I screwed up my back, I got more and more information. And ultimately, I wrote her into the screenplay under the name of Dr. Hunt, which is, she's played by Sherry Belafonte. And she's become very respected in our family now, and I feel rotten that we thought she was
a nutter. Do you feel like you were going into the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I told Pamela when I met Pamela, because I originally met Pamela when I was interviewing, doing research, because Primrose Lane continues as an episodic series, and I was already making the film when I met Pamela. In fact, we're towards the middle to end of it. And no, it was right at the end, actually.
It was at the end, yeah.
I don't remember how I met you. Oh, yeah. And so when I met Pamela, I told her, I think in that first meeting, is it okay if I think you're batshit crazy?
And I said?
And she said yes. She's not here to convince. She shares her experience without an interest in anybody, you know, quote unquote, buying into it. It's just her truth.
Well, I think I told you that day, I think half the time I think I'm batshit crazy, so it's okay that you think I am.
But like the chiropractor, I have come to have enormous respect for Pamela as well.
Aww,
and what I believe, you can believe what you want, and I totally respect skeptics, especially because I am one. But what I believe of both of them, whether or not you choose to believe what they're sharing, I believe that they're being completely honest in their experience.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's hard to find that, especially when you get into people that are in these fields of practice where you've got the psychics who are fishing for information. And you know, there are a lot of charlatans out there.
Just like in every other occupation.
But this is real life magic that you've got going on here. So let's get back to this story. Now, at this point, and there are tons of small events that happened that I'm leaving out. But I'm going to go back and pick up. As I shared, when we moved into the house, we had an 18-month-old son. Now, eventually, we had a daughter. And at the point that we are now in the story, where the film is being made now, and we have a second child and a second dog, and there are 3 years difference between our kids. So when, as I've shared in other segments, when both kids learn to talk, one of the things they articulated was seeing various entities in the house. They could describe them. They were tracking them with their eyes. They were hearing them at times, seeing them at times. And both kids heard the woman's voice, which we also heard as adults. What we didn't see as adults, but we heard the footsteps and felt the energy, was of this little boy. Let's come back to the little boy, because when our daughter began to talk, she saw this boy many times. The very first time that she did, I was giving my son a bath, and she was at that point in speech where they get very repetitive. They're just starting to put sounds together and words together and making simple sentences, and they, you know, keep repeating the same thing, driving you nuts. And she was standing in the doorway of the bathroom saying something over and over, and I had tuned her out. And as I'm getting my son now dressed in his pajamas, and then it dawns on me what she's saying. She's saying, "Mama, who's that boy? Who's that boy? Who's that boy, Mama? Mama, Mama, who's that boy?" And she's pointing. And when I finally realize what she's saying, I get up and I said, and again, I would always try to keep it open-ended. I didn't want to confirm or deny an experience that I couldn't share with them. So I said, "I don't know. Who is that boy? Where is he, Bellavi?" "There, Mama, there. Who's that boy?" And she takes me by the hand, and she walks me to the top of the staircase. And again, a lot of activity happened on the staircase. And she points into the corner of the landing. There's like a midway landing. And says over and over, "There, Mama, there, Mama. Who's the boy?" And I said, I don't know. Is he a big boy or a little boy? Little mama, little like me, little like Billabai. And then she looks over into the doorway of their bedroom, which is to the right of the top of the staircase. And again, if you watch the film, it's the same house, so you can appreciate that you have the inside story. You can see all of these locations that we're talking about. So she looks into the bedroom, and she's, what's that doggy, Mommy? And she tracks this dog as if it's walked out of the bedroom, right by her feet, down the staircase. And then she looks, her neck cranes around down the second descent of the staircase. And she looks up at me and says, Mommy, where'd the boy go? Where's the doggy? All right, Pamela.
Help!
Pamela. Help. What the...
Well, okay, so what kids see that often adults don't is the other dimensions. They're a part of us at all times. They never go away. Everybody has spirits around them all the time. They never go away. Everybody has spirit animals around them all the time. They never go away. And so you just see them or you don't. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean they're not there. Mm-hmm. And the little boy, I remember that little boy because I did talk to him. And
well, we're getting to that real soon.
Yeah, I did talk to him. But the little boy and the animal who was with the little boy are just on another dimension. And they can hear you. They can see you. They can communicate with you. Just because you can't doesn't mean they can't. And again, the little boy wasn't there to cause you harm. Mm-hmm. The dog wasn't there to cause you harm. And what happened is the reason she couldn't see him is because in the spirit world, you just have to think of someplace else and you're there. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. I mean, the dog in particular, when she saw the dog goes, uh-oh, and took off. So that dog just went someplace else, probably downstairs to play with your dogs.
Let's talk about the dog, because that seemed to be like a smallish sized dog, because again, she's tracking it. She's looking down. She's not that tall at this point. But she had a fascination with canine-like creatures. Mm. And she would try to describe, there's something that she saw, again, consistently in the house that didn't seem to be the boy, didn't seem to be the little dog she saw the first time, but she would describe it as a dog person. And he seemed to be tall, maybe taller than the average human. And she would say that he... And I would say she would refer to him at times as a monster. Mm-hmm. She was not afraid of him. And if I would say, well, he's got to leave. We've got a monster. They've got to go. And she would say, no, Mommy, he's not bad. He's just misunderstood. Now, little kids like this don't use the word misunderstood first and foremost. So I don't know where she got that one. But she would to convince me not to make him go. That he was sort of her friend, maybe a protector. That yes, he was a monster. And she would describe him, there was something weird about his head, and I don't know what it was, because there were two things that she found in books and then likened to this thing that she was seeing. One was cowboys with the cowboy hat, and the other was the wolf from Little Red Riding Hood. There was something, you know, that seems, but again, the kids were seeing things that they couldn't readily equate to something in life to say, this is what it is.
They didn't
it was this is sort of this and sort of that. What do you think, Pamela? What was...
Well, I can see the... In my mind's eye, I see the guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't recall if I ever saw him before. But he... Honestly, he's a intergalactic being. Mm-hmm. He did not mean harm.
When you say that, are we talking aliens? What do you mean by intergalactic being?
Well, that's what normal people would call them, yes. But okay. We're all aliens, so I don't think of
great.
It...
Great. So we got ghosts, we got aliens, we got things from all flipping
there
dimensions cruising through my house.
Well, they've got us, too. So... Yeah, you've got everybody. But the intergalactic being means it's not just from, it is from another dimension, if you will. But unlike the lower vibration entities, this one was a higher vibration. Now, I saw his head. You remember Horus?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw him as being, I mean, he was extremely tall. Mm-hmm. And he looked like Horus to me. He had animal / alien being head.
Okay.
That's who he was.
I'm going to segue there. Well, oh, you know what? We're going to pick this up in our next episode.
There you go.
She's given me the hand sign. I'm out of time. So here's the teaser for the next episode. one day, my son hears what sounds like, and I heard it too, by the way, what I can best equate into what I might imagine a dinosaur roar or growl would sound like. And we will go into that story in our next episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Please like our Facebook page. If you do, we'll be meeting you in the theaters in 2016. Primrose Lane Movie on Facebook. Thank you.